This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning and happy Halloween. It's October 31st. I'm Tan Cheng Han, and with me, Joyce Goh. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning, Han.
Just the two of us, eh?
As yeah,
the
song goes.
So, all right, so it's now just at 6 a.m. Thank you so much for kicking off your day with us here on The Morning Run. Now, before we get you up to speed on some news that happened overnight, just to give you a heads up, folks, we have a poll going on Twitter right now, a Twitter poll. Again, our Twitter handle is at BFM Radio. So this is in response to news that the former Prime Minister, Dato Sri Najib Razak, has issued a plea saying, stop blaming me. He's telling the government of the day to stop blaming him for what's going on in the country right now. So we want to get your thoughts on this. Our question on our Twitter poll is, at what point does Pakatan Harapan take full responsibility for the state of the country? So we have got four options. First one, immediately, right now. Second option, once 1MDB or other legacy issues are resolved. Third, one full term. So you got to give them till GE15, I think. And then last but not least, the fourth option is in 61 years, because that's how long the previous administration, BN, had hold over the country. So now it's time for a fresh start. They're going to need many more decades to kind of clear things out. So again, that poll is on our Twitter page. So at BFM Radio, go check it out over there. All right, time now for some news that happened overnight. Speaking about 1MDB related stuff, you got Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who's saying that authorities now have new info on the whereabouts of Joe Low.
Yeah, so he's saying that they do need the cooperation from certain countries, as they know that Joe Low is on, he's moving around from one place to another to avoid being detected. So that's, I guess that's a challenge here. And with regards to new information, they have that, but they need the cooperation of the other countries. He didn't say which countries though.
Right, so much for the offer of help from Dato Sri Hishamuddin recently, you know, in saying he could maybe tap his previous network to help find Joe Low. Although Hishamuddin in The Star has been quoted as saying that he will cooperate with the IGP, that's the Inspector General of Police, to go on that hunt for Joe Low. I guess safe to say we're going to need all the help we can get to find that guy, hey, Joe Low. All right.
Yeah.
Also, we've got this news coming out of the Transport Ministry. So child seats in the car, that is to be made compulsory by the year 2020.
Yeah, I think this is good news. It's good news that we're going this direction. It's just that whether or not this is a hard stop when it comes to the actual deadline to having it compulsory. Because remember, it's kind of like a moving target. Before it was 2019, it was supposed to be next year. And I think it was pushed back, but partly because of the cost of buying a car seat, and you know how much will that cost the people in general.
Right, and speaking about the cost, I believe one of the proposals by the Transport Minister is to make child seats SST free. So free from SST, at least that's at the proposal stage. We'll find out if that's part of Budget 2019, which will be tabled this Friday afternoon. So keep your eyes out for that. And of course, here on BFM, we'll be giving you plenty of coverage on Budget 2019, both before and after. Mm-hmm. All right, so make sure you keep it locked to BFM. Now, on to some international news. Here's some pretty interesting news for you tech geeks out there. Apple has overhauled two of its oldest Macs after sales of the company's PC, that's personal computers, fell to the lowest point since 2010. All right, so they have revamped the, for example, the MacBook Air. And this is the first revamp for the MacBook Air in 8 years.
Yeah, and also there's this new iPad Pros that eliminates the home button, Han, and incorporates Apple's facial recognition technology. So you have a Face ID instead. So that's new. And they're also introducing a new Mac Mini that's going to be on, they introduced that on Tuesday, and it's the first update to the smaller Mac model in 4 years.
And just makes you wonder what the price point will be like when it comes to Malaysia.
Mm-hmm. With the ringgit now to the US dollar.
Right, 418, I believe, yesterday. All right. So, you know, we're going to dive deeper into some of these tech giant earnings later on in the program at about after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. We'll dive deeper into the earnings on Facebook and the like when we speak to Dodge Dorland out of New York. So that's on our Market Watch segment. Coming up in just a bit, we'll consider some small talk, Joyce. you and I will do some small talk.
Okay.
Right here on
looking
BFM.
Looking forward to that.
Right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was The Police with Don't Stand So Close to Me. And that's a message to you there, Joyce. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Excuse
so
me?
Bad. Yeah. I'm Tanjun Han with me, Joyce Goh. Just the two of us. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Morning Run here on this Halloween. It is Wednesday, October 31st. You can always be part of this conversation. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, so taking our cue off that song just now by The Police, right? Don't Stand So Close to Me. Let's look at the culture over there in Finland, whereby this desire for avoidance, for, you know, I mean, minimal interaction, that seems to be heart-baked into their culture, even to the point where small talk is seen as perhaps a no-no.
Yeah, so they believe that, you know, if you want to say something, you have to mean it. It's not so much of, you know, when people say, how are you, whether or not they really mean that, or it's just a by-the-way thing.
Yeah, it's just a greeting.
Yeah, but they don't actually really want to know how are you, or how was your weekend. Sometimes on Mondays, they ask you that, but whether or not they actually really sincerely want to know. So a friend of mine actually shared this on Facebook, and she's married to a Finnish guy.
Oh, really?
And yeah, and she spent
is
some...
Is she Malaysian?
She is Malaysian. You know her. She's in the corporate sector in PR.
I know
but,
her.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh.
But anyways, she was living 1 year in Finland, and she had a culture shock, she shared, because not speaking much and adhering to the silence is golden in air quotes. They actually practice that.
Right.
And another friend of mine, also former journalist, I met all these people while we were covering assignments. She moved to Australia, and she shared how in Australia they're always like, how are you?
Right.
And all that, right? But whether or not they mean it, and she said for her, she found it a bit annoying because they ask you, how are you? But sometimes you feel like they don't mean it and then they walk off.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I think that's because it's seen to be polite over there, right? I mean, you have that in the American South as well. Of course, Australia. In the UK, I had a bit of a shock because the hotel that I was checking in at, the receptionist asked me, instead of how are you, she asked me, are you all right? So that assumes that something's wrong. I'm like, yep, I'm okay. Just checking in, right? But then, okay, bringing it back to the Malaysian context, I have noticed this. As I try to engage in small talk with people, I mean, PR reps aside, but people, like, say, just at restaurants or even my neighbors, it is quite cumbersome, though, to try and engage in small talk. I guess we are kind of caught in between the Finnish culture and say the Aussie culture, you know, like you pointed out, like in Australia, you just ask it as a greeting, right? Whereas in Finland, it's a big no-no. And we're kind of stuck in between. I personally think that we haven't really fostered a culture of small talk. I don't know. What do you think?
In Malaysia, sometimes you ask, have you eaten yet? What do you have for lunch? Or what are you going to be eating for lunch? I don't know. I find that quite common here.
Yeah.
And also, do you think it's also the urban and, you know, city versus, I don't know, because in Penang, it's quite common, you know, random strangers coming up to you and
asking if you have
sometimes
lunch?
Or just small talk. Yeah. At the market or, you know, and or
really?
At the coffee shop. Yeah. And among your neighbors, I think I talk to my neighbors a lot more back in Penang than here.
Right.
I'm not sure whether or not it's because we're living in an apartment right now compared to a neighborhood, a kind of different neighborhood where in Penang I grew up in.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I agree with you there. I think our living conditions, you know, kind of dictates the amount of small talk that we actually engage in on a daily basis, right? Now, whether or not we are great at small talk or is it seen as necessary? Because obviously the Finns say, you know what, that is not necessary at all. When you communicate with me, it's got to have a purpose. It's got to have meaning, no meaningless small talk or greetings, right? Well, let us know what you think. 018-789-8899. You know, are Malaysians good at small talk? Well, let us know. Also, folks, on Twitter, we have a poll going on right now, and we've had some votes right now. So, you know, we'll give you an update on the results there. You can go check out the poll. Again, it's at BFM Radio. All right, this is The Morning Run. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was The Cooks with Be Who You Are. I am Tan Chung Han, and with me, Joyce Goh. You're tuned in to The Morning Run here on BFM 89.9. It is now coming up to 20 minutes past 6 a.m. on this Halloween day, October 31st. Why do you make that sad face when I said Halloween? You don't like Halloween? No?
No.
Well, we've got the office decorated here with a Halloween theme here. Now, folks, you can always be part of this conversation. WhatsApp is 018 7898899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So again, taking our cue from that song, right? Be who you are. Now, often we, well, maybe not often, but every once in a while in life, we mm-hmm. may go through this identity crisis, asking who we are and what we're doing, whether it has any purpose. Now, often we associate that with the midlife crisis, mm-hmm. right? But now on LinkedIn, there's this story about how, you know, look, this quarter life crisis, this identity crisis that affects 25 to 33 year olds, 25 to 33 year olds, quarter life crisis, and LinkedIn has outlined some reasons for that.
Yeah, the study revealed that 59% are unsure what to do in their careers or life, 54% are frustrated about their career options, 49% feel they're not earning enough, and 44% feel that they're stuck in a rut.
And again, this I think is based on responses from members on LinkedIn, right? And this seems to be a global phenomenon here. I'm reading this story. I don't see any like geographical distinctions, right? It's just 25 to 33 year olds mm-hmm. in general. So, well, you and I, we have just kind of come out of that that stage in life,
you think?
Right? Yeah, well, I'm not 33 anymore. That was a while back.
But this is a quarter-life crisis, though.
Yeah, quarter-life crisis. Mm-hmm. You know, I would like to think that's kind of behind me. So I'm in between crises right now, between quarter-life and my midlife crisis. But I must agree, you know, because I can empathize with some of those concerns that you outlined there just now, right? Unsure what next to do in your careers. I have had to reinvent myself, and I'm only in my mid-30s, mm-hmm. and I've had to reinvent myself like at least twice already. You know, in my short, in the short space of my career. Well, Joyce, you reinvented yourself from the industry to print, now to radio.
Actually, for me, it's a big shift was from accounting to media. I think that was when I was going through a quarter life crisis and didn't know what to do. I was really bored with my job, you know, but I wasn't sure whether is this it, you know, and I think that was how I stumbled onto media. But this story on Inc.com, it actually gives recommendations on what you could do to help you pull through the crisis. Mm. And one of the recommendations is focus on the type of work you love, not the title. And another is to find someone to confide in. Or I guess in a way to find a mentor or right. talk to a friend or someone who, I mean, don't feel that you're going through it alone. It's actually very common. It's more common than you think.
Right. And well, some might describe that person as a work spouse. Have you ever heard of that term?
Work spouse,
yeah. You know, find a work spouse. Yeah, like you said, someone whom you can rely on, get that emotional comfort from, you know, in these times of crises, so to speak. But coming back to the first point that you made there, Joyce, so, you know, focus on a type of work that you love, not the title. But guess what? You know, sometimes the title also brings along with it status. Right.
Mm-hmm. And
with
that, and a better package.
Yeah, and a better package mm-hmm. as well. And that could perhaps ease your concerns over that quarter life crisis as well, though. And I mean, focusing on the type of work that you love, it sounds idealistic. Sure, it is something that we can all aspire to. But realistically speaking, how many of us actually, you know, are in a job that we love? I mean, of course, we here at BFM, we love our jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying for the others out there.
Well, I think that sometimes it's good to kind to be in a work or be doing work that you enjoy to a certain extent. I don't think that, to me, I don't think there's a perfect place, there's a perfect company or a perfect job, but at least something that you enjoy to just a bit, you know,
right.
better than dragging yourself to work all the time.
Yeah,
that could help.
Now, on the flip side, though, do you think we're using the word crisis, or at least according to LinkedIn, they call this a quarter life crisis? Do you think we may be at risk of using the word crisis too flippantly? Because, again, I'm not that old, but I'm going to assume that this seems to be a relatively new phenomenon. Well, you know, in previous generations, you don't really hear about that, right? You just find that job, find that stability, and just stick with it.
That
right?
is true. Our parents never went through it. I remember like, my dad was like, suck it up and just go through it. I remember when I first started work, to share with you, when I first started work in an accounting firm, I was really down. 6 months in, I just wanted to quit because I was like, is this life? Because coming from uni is so different from working life. And it's my first time working, right? Being at the office at 8 on the dot, if you're late by 3 minutes, you have to write a letter. This is typical accounting company, okay? And even if you leave like 2, 3 a.m., you still have to be back at your desk at 8 a.m. You know, so I was thinking, oh my gosh, is this work? I really wanted to quit. And my dad's like, no, you have to suck it up. You have to be at least 2 years on your CV if not, you know, you have to try lah, which I did. And good advice, because after that, I stayed on for nearly 5 years.
Right.
But it was just going through that you know, going through that past 1 year, and then things got better.
Right. Mm. All right. Well, let us know what you think. 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. How would you cope with either your quarter life or midlife crisis? You know, LinkedIn suggests focus on the type of work that you love, not the title, and find someone to confide in. Also, we have had some messages coming in via WhatsApp. You got Mr. Tan commenting on the story out of the Transport Ministry about how car seats for children, that is going to be made mandatory by 2020. Mm-hmm. He says the DOT may again be selective on its enforcement. What about child safety on motorbikes? You know, aren't those children's safety important as well? I guess execution risk is always going to be a factor, eh?
Yes, and enforcement. And also education. I think education is big as well. I mean, it's important. It's crucial.
All right. So we're going to come up to the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin. And in the meantime, don't forget, we've got a poll on Twitter. So make sure you check that out at BFM Radio. This is The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was The Madness with It Must Be Love. I'm Tan Chung Han, with me Joyce Goh, and you are tuned in to The Morning Run. Thank you so much for staying with us here on the program. So it's just the two of us this morning. Mm-hmm. You can always keep us company, join the conversation, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, Joyce, earlier this morning, we were talking about the value of small talk. Over there in Finland, it's a big no-no, right? You know, any form of verbal communication has to be meaningful and there has to be a purpose. Meaningless small talk is a no-no. So we asked the question, well, what about us here in Malaysia? You know, how much do we value small talk? So we had Ro weighing in saying that Malaysians are excellent at small talk in two ways. One, involving food. So like damakan, right? Have you eaten? Mm-hmm. And Joyce, you mentioned this earlier as well. And secondly, small talk stating the obvious, like walking into a cinema, seeing a friend and then asking, hey, what are you doing here? I mean, that's pretty true there. And also, we've got another WhatsApp, right, Joyce?
Yeah, we have a WhatsApp coming in saying that, you know, small talk might not be necessary, but at least acknowledge people around you. Smile.
Well, see, now, I was trained to do that in the American South, right? But then when we had folks from up north, right, from the like New York State and all that, coming down to American South, and they when they see just random strangers smiling at them, they get freaked out. It's like, why is this stranger smiling at me, right? So, I mean, would you think that odd if somebody just randomly smiled at you?
Well, sometimes, but if it's small talk, like in this case, the WhatsApp from Rary, if they're coming up and they're like, how are you? I guess smile a bit, like, I guess. You know, in a way.
Okay. Well, yeah. let us know what you think. 018-789-8899. Small talk, the Malaysian style. Now, let's turn our attentions to something that the former Prime Minister said recently. So, Dato' Sri Najib, you know, has you know, asked the government of the day, the Pakatan government, to perhaps stop blaming Najib or the previous administration for all their current woes. So there's a story on the Star, and then also there's a commentary on Malaysia Kini by Chua Soi Lek, who spoke about, well, perhaps the achievements, and that's what he used, or the title on Malaysia Kini, the achievements under the Najib administration may be eclipsed by the 1MDB scandal.
Yeah, he said that, you know, Malaysia's progress under Najib towards the goal of moving the country from the middle income track to status of a high income nation by 2020, that is highly commendable. But, you know, as again he said, the achievements have been eclipsed by 1MDB, and he has done well to survive the political storm. So that's what Chua Soi Lek is saying.
Right, but and is that a fair lens, though? Because, again, given the global kleptocracy that 1MDB was, given the lack of confidence that resulted from the lack of governance at 1MDB, I mean, isn't that an appropriate lens, 1MDB? Or are we being too narrow-minded here?
Or are we too fixated on the issues that we're saying, Han? Well, Dato' Sri Najib Razak, last night, he actually urged the government to stop blaming him for the country's state of affairs. He put on a Facebook Live broadcast saying that, you know, they should instead focus their energy on finding ways to save the country.
Right. Well, but I mean, again, to be fair to the government of the day, it's only been like, what, 6 months? Coming up to 6 months since GE14, and they're still trying to unpack what actually happened under the previous administration, we have seen a slew of investigations, a slew of reviews, contracts being rescinded, and trying to build that trust again with the civil service and, you know, also the top brass at GLCs.
Yeah, actually, we have a Twitter poll out asking, you know, at what point does Pakatan Harapan take full responsibility for the state of the country? One is immediately, and we also have one that is once 1MDB and other legacy issues that's resolved. Another option is one full term and also in 61 years. I think a number of people have voted. And also we have some Twitter feedback on this coming from Ashraf.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says that, you know, in fact, they should even start sooner because they've been claiming this country's in dire states and almost kaput, drowning into bankruptcy from G13 campaign up to G14.
Right.
So he says, hurry up then, don't just stop, do.
Yeah, but then on the flip side, you've got at Chieftet, who says they are already taking responsibility. People are being charged, finances put in order. Changes might not be fast enough for some, but it can be seen and felt. So we have had 86 votes already. And with that said, 41% says immediately. Mm-hmm. 35% says one full term. So in other words, Pakatan Harapan takes full responsibility for the state of the country, GE15 onwards. So you got to give them that five-year runway. 16% say in 61 years, because that's how long Barisan Nasional had control over Malaysia. And then just 8% says once 1MDB is resolved. Well, let us know what you think. You can join the Twitter poll. It's at BFM Radio. Also, you can add some commentary either on Twitter or also WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. All right, we'll be back with more right here on The Morning Run. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, what a great hit there by the Beatles, Can't Buy Me Love. I'm Tan Chung Han, with me, Joyce Goh, and this is The Morning Run. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And also to the over 100 people who voted or took part in our Twitter poll, thank you so much for taking part there. So we're asking this question, at what point does Pakatan Harapan take full responsibility for the state of the country? Because, you know, you've got the former Prime Minister who's saying, well, stop blaming me for, you know, what's going on right now. Although I think many of us can also say that, well, the current government is having to spend so much time and resources trying to unpack what actually went down there, reviewing, investigating, bringing people to MACC, to the courts, etc. Right? So there has to be a lot of rectifying, to put it very, very, very PC, in a very PC way. There's a lot of work that has to be done right now to basically try to undo some of what has happened in the past.
Also a lot of discovery. Remember the discovery,
yeah,
when you discovered the
red
files and all that? Yeah. So basically we're asking this is, in your opinion, right, whether or not you think that Pakatan Harapan government, should they take full responsibility now, today, as it is, because they're already in government, or should they wait until once there's closure from 1MDB cases or from other legacy issues? Once they are able to close all these cases, then we move on and Pakatan Harapan, the government will take full responsibility from then onwards.
Mm-hmm.
Or do we wait one full term? We give them to one full term to clean up whatever they have to, or make changes or whatever changes they have to do, or wait 61 years, because that's how long the BN government was in government for.
All right, so we've got some latest results right now. 40% of you said immediately, so Pakatan Harapan takes full responsibility right now. 39%, it's neck and neck here, 39% then says one full term, so give Pakatan until GE15. 13% says in 61 years.
Okay.
And then 9% says once 1MDB and these other legacy issues are resolved. And we got some comments coming in via WhatsApp as well.
That's right. We have a comment from KK who said that Najib asked the current government not to blame him and BN, but focus on saving the country. By asking the current government to save the country is already his admission that the country is in dire state because of his administration. Of course, the present government has every right to blame him and BN.
All right. And Faisal WhatsApped in also saying that he things at least one term and some significant direction of accountability in 2 years from now, or maybe 2 years from GE14. Folks, you can always be part of this conversation, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Again, that Twitter poll is live at BFM Radio.
We also have a tweet, Han, coming in from Ken Ong, who says that, you know, we didn't vote for daily excuses and passing the buck. They already assumed the country was at the bottom of the pits when their manifesto promises were drafted. Now it's time for delivery, not denial.
Right. Now, I mean, we are seeing, I mean, to be fair, we are seeing plenty of action going on right now, right? You know, but how much time do we give them, right? I think that's the point of discussion here. Obviously, different people use different lenses. You know, some people are saying immediately, some people are saying, well, you know, they've got 61 years.
Yeah, we also have this tweet coming in from Curious City saying that lots done, but lots more to do. Unfortunately, there are still some sleeping ministers, in air quotes there, who are at positions of power and they've craved so much but clueless in execution. One example is, imagine how rich the country would be if the police force is efficient and penalizing traffic offences.
We've got plenty of messages coming in right now. So we got one from KF who WhatsApp in saying that we never heard the previous prime ministers complain when the fourth prime minister caused blunders in his 22-year stint. Yikes. Plenty of comments there. Folks, you can always be part of this conversation. Again, 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. I mean, I think it's ultimately trying to, you know, distill it down to the individual perspective, right? You know, granted, everyone's going to have a different lens here. But, you know, I think it's an important question here. At what point in time, you know, do we say this is a Pakatan's thing as opposed to, you know, something that's happened in the past? When can Malaysia Baru truly find that fresh start? Okay, let us know. All right, we're coming up to the 7 a.m. news bulletin, but taking us there is Oasis with Live Forever right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.